Gospel of John. Turn with me to John chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 13 to 41. It's a bit of a longer section this morning. Continuing on from the story that began at the beginning of this chapter. But we'll read it in a moment. But I wonder, have you ever noticed that when you close your eyes, it gets a little bit dark? Probably you have. It can be useful if you get tired of seeing me this morning. You could try it. It does work. Your eyes are the part of your body that receives light from the world, and your brain interprets it, and you can see the world. You can see what's there in front of you. It's really pretty incredible when you think about it, all that's happening just for you to be able to see. And God made that. God made that system so that we can see the world. It's incredible. He also made the light that comes into our eyes that we can that enables us to see. All of it comes from him. It's from his wisdom, from his creative design, his power in creation. And in our passage today, there's a very important discussion about sight, and not only physical sight and physical blindness, but also, even more importantly, spiritual sight and spiritual blindness. So we all know very well what it means to receive physical light, what it means to see. I mean, you're doing that now, probably, unless you're falling asleep. But what does it mean to receive spiritual sight? And what does it mean to refuse it, to keep your spiritual eyes closed, if you will? Well, we get some very good examples of both, actually, in this passage, of people who refuse to see and someone who does see. So in our passage, it's a bit long, but it is a story. It's not hard to follow. So we'll start in verse 13. Last week, we looked at verses 1 to 12, and we saw Jesus healing a blind man. And so today, we're continuing that story, picking up in verse 13. John 9, starting in verse 13. They brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" So there was division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had actually been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he is Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner." And he answered them and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that I was blind and now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become one of his disciples?" So they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't even know where he's from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if he is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who has been born blind. If this man were not from God, He could do nothing. They answered and said to him, "You are completely born in sins, and you are teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Now, what is the difference between spiritual blindness and spiritual sight? That's a theme running through this passage. Jesus brings it to a point at the end. Even the healing of the man who was born blind becomes an illustration, really, of the spiritual truth that Jesus is sharing, of what it means to, of their need to receive spiritual sight from Jesus, the light of the world. As he says back in verse 5, he says, "I am the light of the world." Well, both kinds, okay, but if you look at the parallel that Jesus is drawing here between physical sight and spiritual sight, you see a lot of similarities. I mean, both kinds of sight depend on light coming from outside of ourselves to be able to see. I mean, if you think about it, your physical eyes face outward, don't they? Not inward towards yourself. They wouldn't do you much good if they faced the other way around. Because the light you need is not inside of you. It's outside of you. That's what you need to be able to see. And the exact same dynamic is actually true spiritually as well. The spiritual light we need is not inside of ourselves. In this passage, we see that spiritual blindness is actually looking towards yourself or other people for light, whereas spiritual sight is looking beyond ourselves to the source of light, which is Jesus himself, the light of the world. So this morning, we'll see an example of spiritual blindness, and then we'll also consider an example of spiritual sight, which we see both in this passage. So we'll start with an example of spiritual blindness. We'll spend most of our time here, and that is the religious leaders in this passage. We saw in verses 1 to 12, we looked at that last week, how Jesus healed this man who's born blind. Obviously an amazing, an incredible miracle. So in verse 13, people bring this healed man to the Pharisees. Jesus is not around. Obviously something significant had happened. And these are the recognized religious leaders. These are supposed to be the experts on all things related to God and all things spiritual. This is obviously a spiritual event. The doctors couldn't have done this. It was a physical healing, but it was accomplished with spiritual power. So bring in the spiritual experts, the Pharisees. It looks like they're starting a normal kind of investigation at the beginning. Verse 15, they get the whole story. And then they start to have this argument among themselves. What does it mean? Because some of them say, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Verse 16, others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? So there's division among them. They're not sure what this is supposed to mean about Jesus. They're having a hard time. Now, obviously, an amazing miracle has been done. They can't really deny that, although they actually try a bit later. But their reservation here is that Jesus did this miracle on the Sabbath. That was a problem for them because the Pharisees had very strict, very specific rules about not working on the Sabbath, and Jesus broke their rules. Now, I say he broke their rules because he did not actually break God's rules about the Sabbath, and he did not break God's intention for the Sabbath. He actually fulfilled it. But these leaders were convinced that their extra rules that they had added on to God's word were the only way to properly keep God's law. So they have a conundrum. They have a problem. They have a man who has done an incredible miracle with power that really looks like God's power. But how can he be from God if he breaks their religious rules? So there's a couple of ways they could solve this problem. One way would be to say, well, obviously Jesus is not from God. His power is not from God. The other option that could solve this problem is to say that their Sabbath rules, that their understanding of God's law is not right. It's not from God. So those are the two options, really. Either Jesus is not from God, or their religious system that they've been putting their trust in has gone wrong. And this choice that they have is an opportunity for them to display either spiritual sight or spiritual blindness. And this is what I mean. Spiritual light is shining on them as these things are happening. This great sign performed by Jesus, backing up his claim in verse 5 that as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's one of the seven great I am statements in the Gospel of John. Jesus says this at various times, that I am the light of the world, I'm the bread, I'm the good shepherd, different things that he says. And they all reveal something very important about who Jesus is. This is very significant. Jesus has spoken spiritual truth to them about who he is and about how life and revelation and truth, really, he's the one that brings it. But not only that, he's acted in God's power to prove that his words are not just words, they're really true. So not only has he said, I am the light of the world, but he has followed that with by giving physical light to a man who never saw anything in his whole life. So the miracle backs up his words. Spiritual light is shining on everyone in this situation, in the person, in the words, in the actions of Jesus. The problem for the Pharisees is that if they receive this light, if they accept this light and accept that Jesus' power is God's power and that Jesus' words, his message is God's message, then that means that they will also have to admit that their religious system, their rules and regulations that they were trusting in has gone wrong and that Jesus is the one who is right. So in order to receive the light of Christ, they would have to admit that they have actually been in the darkness, that they have actually been blind. And that's not ever going to be an easy thing to do. To receive physical light, though, I mean, we understand if you want to receive physical light, you have to actually open your eyes, don't you? There's no other way. You can't wake up in the morning, pretend like, I don't need any light to see the world. I don't need to receive any light. Pretend that you've got everything within yourself to see everything perfectly. Thank you very much. You don't have to open your eyes. I mean, nobody does that. That's silly. Nobody does that physically. And yet, actually, unfortunately, that kind of silliness is actually quite common spiritually. That we wake up in the morning and we refuse to accept the light that God has given us, the spiritual light that God has given us in Jesus. We just carry on. We just pretend like we have everything we need in ourselves or in the things or people or systems around us that we think give us the light that we need, but it doesn't work. The light of the world was shining on the Pharisees here, but they closed their eyes to him. He wasn't the light that they wanted. They thought they already had enough light in themselves. And I think it happens for us as well today. I mean, if you look around, a lot of people, I mean, talk about things like following the light within, that kind of language. People are looking for spiritual light, for truth, for wisdom, for life. And often we do, or we're encouraged to look inside of ourselves for those things. But if problem is, if you look inside yourself for spiritual light, well, you'll find lots of things there. You'll find lots of conflicting desires and thoughts and motives and passions. There's lots inside. And it's not all bad. So you might find some good things. You do have like a conscience that God gave you, a sense of right and wrong. So there is a bit of light that filters in to you from your Creator and just the way that he made you. It's kind of like if you close your eyes, you can still tell if there's light outside. Do you know? Some light filters through even your eyelids when they're closed. God has given light to all of us, even just in the way that he made us. But if you look for light inside yourself, you're going to find maybe a bit of that light filtered through from how God made you, but you're going to find a lot of other things there too. A lot of things that are not light, that are really dark. It's selfishness and anger and pride and hate and lust and greed and all sorts of things like that. And lots of self-justification that tries to cover up those nasty things. So that is spiritual darkness. And if we look inside ourselves, we're going to find plenty of it. Just like if you roll your eyes back into your head, you're going to find mostly darkness, aren't you? The source of that darkness, the spiritual darkness in us, is our own sin, our own turning away from God, rebellion against him. But the source of any light we see in ourselves actually originates from God himself, his image that he put in you. Because he is the origin of all truth, all goodness, all beauty and wisdom and perfection. I mean, James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So that means that if you want to see more light, more of what is real and true and right, then looking inside yourself is not the place to find it. You need to look to the source. I mean, if you close your eyes and you see, you get a sense that, okay, there's brightness in the room. The way to see more of that brightness, the way to see more of that light is not to roll your eyes back into your head as far as you can. That's not the source of the light. That's not where the light is coming from. If you want to see more light, you have to open your eyes and look to the source. And Jesus says in verse 5, I am the light of the world. He means it. If we want to see more light, we have to look to him. So open your eyes. Don't waste your time looking inside yourself for the light that is found in Christ. But let's be fair to these religious leaders, because they weren't only looking to themselves, were they? They were looking to other people as well. And actually, they had some good places that they were looking for light. If you look at what they say to the healed man in verse 28, he's saying, you know, well, you guys keep asking me about this. You want to become Jesus' disciples too? And they say, you're his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. So they're priding themselves in following Moses, which is not a bad thing. I mean, Moses was somebody that God used. But of course, they don't realize that Moses wasn't trusting himself. He was trusting God. He was believing God's promise to send a savior, who is Jesus. So actually, if they were really following Moses, they would follow like Moses did, trusting God, trusting Jesus. They would follow that trust as well, towards which pointed them to Jesus. But that's not what they're doing. They're taking Moses and twisting him into a different direction. But Moses wasn't a bad place to look for light. I mean, it's kind of like the moon reflects the sun. It becomes a light. It reflects real light. And Moses did genuinely reflect real spiritual light from God in the Old Testament. So that's true. That's a great place to look for light. The problem is that Moses himself is not the source of that light. So only putting their trust in him was the wrong place to put it. God is actually the source of the light that he revealed through Moses. So our trust should never be in the people or the systems or anything that, even if it's good and reflects God's light, our trust should always be in the source of that light, in God himself. And the Pharisees got so caught up with the reflection of God's light that they stopped actually looking at where that light was actually coming from. They got caught up with Moses and they forgot about actually trusting God. In the process, they took that light that God had given and twisted it up with their own desires, with their own darkness, really, and actually ended up turning the light that God had given into a new kind of darkness, because they were trusting themselves. They were trusting their systems instead of trusting God. But that still happens. I mean, it's still tempting to look around us through the world and other people for some kind of light that we can follow. And there's so many places out there, so many things, so many people telling us that we can trust them, that they are offering us real light. I mean, you look online, you will find millions of videos and systems and programs, and all of them will promise you some kind of light to help guide you. Maybe scientific research, maybe a wise teacher, maybe some successful person that shares, you know, 5 steps to success or whatever it is. That kind of stuff is everywhere. And every one of those sources of light is telling you that they are the light that you need. And they might be very convincing. But of course, we know some of them are actually just full-on scams. But even the ones, genuine ones, even teachers or systems that do genuinely have some true light in them, maybe light that really is from God, they could easily mix in their own sin, their own twisted desires or whatever it is, that some kind of darkness in with the light as well. Maybe even without realizing it. So we've got to be really careful. We read earlier in Acts, Lovemore was reading about the Bereans who took the teaching of Paul and the others, and they checked it against scripture to say, is this really true? And that's really important, because anybody can take something that is true and actually turn it the wrong way. I mean, I could do that. I could share God's truth with you, and sometimes without even meaning to, I could be mixing in my own wrong opinions, my own misinterpretations. So you've got to remember, please, you don't need my light. You need God's light. And I would urge you, like the Bereans, to check anything that is said in this church or anywhere else, any source that you're receiving, against the true light of Christ revealed to us in God's word. Because anybody can go wrong. But Jesus is the true, pure, the actual light of the world. He's the one that we need. So the big question for us is really, will we open our eyes and receive the light of Christ, or are we going to look for light either within ourselves or look to some other source other than the light of the world? These religious leaders, they're an example for us of spiritual blindness. But it's not because they didn't have access to the light. They had lots of light. They had the Old Testament, but they actually had the light of the world standing right in front of them, sharing light with them. They had plenty of light. The reason their example for us of blindness is because they refused to receive that light. So in this passage, they keep trying to think of any way they can to deny the light. In verse 18, they don't really believe this man is really blind, so they don't have to deal with it. Well, when that doesn't work, they keep asking him over and over again, well, how are you healed again? How are you healed again? How are you healed? Looking for some kind of gap in the story so they could prove Jesus really must be bad. But they don't get that kind of proof, so they just dig in anyway. Verse 24, we know this man is a sinner. They don't say how, they just know. And when the healed man doesn't agree with them, they attack him too. Verse 34, you are steeped in sin. How dare you lecture us about this? This is what spiritual blindness looks like. It is a steadfast refusal to open your eyes and receive the light that God has given us in Jesus. Because if you receive that light, here's the thing, it will change you. I mean, seeing has that effect, doesn't it? It shows us what's really true around us, what's actually there. If you go around with your eyes closed, you can kind of pretend that the world is whatever way you want. Now, you might bump into things because you pretend doesn't make it so. But sometimes it's more comfortable to pretend than it is to receive the light and see the actual truth about God, about ourselves, about the world around us, about the people around us. If you receive the light, the truth will change your life. Like this blind man in this passage, this blind man that becomes for us really an example of spiritual sight. We've seen the spiritual darkness, those who refuse to see, Now, here's an example of spiritual sight. And ironically, it's the man who is physically blind his entire life now becomes the man who can see more clearly than anyone around him. But that's just the point. Because it doesn't matter how long we've been blind. It doesn't matter how little he could see. He could see nothing. And yet he receives his sight because he receives it from the right source. He receives it from Jesus. Not just physical sight, but spiritual sight. And you see his sight growing bit by bit in this passage. First, he gets his sight back at the beginning. And then he says in verse 17, they ask him, what do you think? He says, well, Jesus must be a prophet or something. Verse 25, he says, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner, but I know one thing. I was blind and now I see. And then in verse 33, he says, well, Jesus must be from God to be able to do this for me. And all of that is true. And it puts him in a great position to receive even more light from God, from Jesus. In verse 35, Jesus comes to him and begins to reveal even more about himself, to give him more light. Show him that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, the one that the deliverer that God had promised, that he'd been waiting for. And this man receives that light from Jesus, and his response is worship, in verse 38. Recognizing who Jesus really is, opening his spiritual eyes, looking to the source of all light, all life, Jesus himself. This is what spiritual sight looks like. It is receiving the light of Christ, the light of the world. And then Jesus says in verse 39, for judgment I've come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said, are we blind also? So Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. So what is this? What is the difference between spiritual blindness and spiritual sight? That's what Jesus is talking about. And the difference between those two things, it comes down to one thing. And that is receiving the light of Christ. Jesus says he comes into the world and he brings a kind of judgment when he comes. And that is because those who say they see well will be shown to be actually blind. And those who admit their blindness will be given sight. The Pharisees thought they could already see. Verse 41, you say we see, so your sin remains. They already thought they were so wise. They had everything they needed in themselves and their wonderful system and all the rest. They could not actually be healed from their blindness because they would not admit it. They would not admit that it was there. Even when the light shone on them, they refused to open their eyes and receive it. Their blindness is their own choice, their own refusal to accept the light of Christ, their stubborn commitment to seeking their own light in themselves, in their systems, in anything else other than Jesus. But Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. And what that means is, if you recognize your need for Jesus, if you come to him admitting your blindness without him, then you will be given sight. Verse 39, he came that those who do not see may see, but we have to admit that we don't see, to open our eyes and receive the light of Christ. The light of Jesus, if we receive it, it will change our lives. It changed this blind man. Not only could he see physically, he also saw spiritually. He saw Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the source of all wisdom and truth and life. And his life would never be the same. It changed everything. And I think from that moment on, he oriented his whole life around the man who had healed him, the light of the world, the light of Christ. In that light, he saw everything else differently. And isn't that what light does for us? It shows us the truth about everything around us, even about ourselves. So if we receive the light of Christ, then we begin to see everything more for what it truly is. We begin to see God and his glory. We begin to see ourselves more for what we are, sinful and yet forgiven and loved and changed by the power of Jesus. And we see others with fresh eyes as well. We see God's love for them and his power to change everyone that comes into the light. We see the world and we see it differently. We start to see it as God's world and that we ourselves depend on God completely, just like eyes can't work without receiving the light that God has made for them. Also, we can't work. Our life doesn't work unless we receive from Christ. So we start to live in dependence on him. The light shines on every area of life and it changes everything. If it shines on your family, it shows you that those people that you are close to are not there to like serve you and fulfill you somehow. They are there. They are God's precious creations. And God put you together so you can learn to live in his light together. Or at work, the light of Christ reveals that this whole world belongs to God and you have the privilege of using your skills, your abilities to reflect his light and make the world into more of what he intended it to be. I mean, if you let the light of Christ shine on you, it will transform everything. It will make you see the truth about everything. Your friendships, your free time will start to transform. You'll see that it's not just about you. Your whole life, the light just brightens everything that it touches. It makes it glorious in the glory of knowing God, seeing his light, his fingerprints on absolutely everything and everywhere and everyone. So why would we want to go back to living in the darkness of sin, when we have the light, we have the truth? Well, one reason why we sometimes revert back to the darkness is because it can be very uncomfortable when the light reveals us, can't it? It can be uncomfortable when the light shows there's something wrong in us, that we've been trusting ourselves, we've been trusting other things, we've been looking the wrong way, we've been doing the wrong things. The light does reveal what is wrong in us. But every time it does that, we have an opportunity to exercise either spiritual sight or spiritual blindness. How will we respond when the light reveals us? When the light reveals the truth about the world around us and God? How will we respond? Will we dig in like the Pharisees and close our eyes to Jesus and pretend that's not light? Or will we let the light come in and change us and redirect us so that we look to Jesus instead of our own understanding, follow him instead of our own desires or the things that we've been trusting in? I'm going to read from 1 John, the same John that wrote this gospel. In chapter 1 of 1 John, he says, "This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Are you looking to Jesus, the light of the world? Are you receiving his light into every dark corner of your heart? Or are you still trying to close off some areas, not willing to let his light shine on the dark secrets of your heart? Just let it shine. Let it shine. Open your heart. Open your eyes. The light of Christ can heal you just as surely as it healed this blind man in this passage. But you've got to open your eyes and receive the light that only Christ can give. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the light of the world, that you are the source of all truth, all goodness, all beauty, all life, all everything, Lord, that we depend on you, but that you have given your light. You have shown your light on us, Lord. And all we need to do is open our eyes, open our hearts, and receive from you everything that we need. Lord, help us. Help us to open ourselves to you, to the light, to live in this light, to walk in this light. Give us the strength to come close to you, Lord. And transform us, heal us, make us what you want us to be, and help us to reflect this light well to others as well. And we pray it all in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.